She sat there smoking a slender length of dried grapevine, as if it were some rare cheroot, holding it with a certain elegance, her other hand across her knees where she'd drawn them up. She watched him across the small flame. "We used to talk about death," she said. "We don't anymore. Why is that?"
"I don't know."
"It's because it's here. There's nothing left to talk about."
"I wouldn't leave you."
"I don't care. It's meaningless. You can think of me as a faithless slut, if you like. I've taken a new lover. He can give me what you can't."
"Death is not a lover."
"Oh, yes, he is."
"Please, don't do this."
"I'm sorry."
"I can't do it alone."
"Then don't. I can't help you. They say that women dream of danger to those in their care, and men of danger to themselves. But I don't dream at all."
"You say you can't?
Then don't do it. That's all. Because I am done with my own whorish heart, and I have been for a long time. You talk about taking a stand, but there's no stand to take. I don't care if you see that or not. My heart was ripped out of me the night he was born, so don't ask for sorrow now. There's none. Maybe you'll be good at this. I doubt it, but who knows? The one thing I can tell you is that you won't survive for yourself. I know, because I'd never have come this far. A person who had no one would be well advised to cobble together some passable ghost, breathe it into being, and coax it along with words of love. Offer it each phantom crumb and shield it from harm with your body. As for me, my only hope is for eternal nothingness, and I hope it with all my heart." He didn't answer. "You have no argument, because there is none."
"Will you tell him goodbye?"
"No, I will not. Just wait till morning, please. I have to go." She'd already stood up.
"For the love of God, woman, what am I to tell him?"
"I can't help you."
"Where are you going to go? You can't even see."
"I don't have to."
He stood up. "I'm begging you," he said.
"No, I will not. I cannot."